Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are Ashok Tandon, political analyst, and S. Rangabhashyam, anchor.
Hello and welcome to this program. Well, listeners, today we are discussing the cabinet decisions which were taken today. Two big decisions were taken, and the first one is about the construction of a third rocket launch pad. For approximately 4,000 crore rupees, the cabinet has sanctioned this. The second big decision which was announced today in the cabinet briefing was about the constitution of the 8th pay commission that has been approved by the Honorable Prime Minister. And in due course of time, we would get to know the nitty-gritties, the details about the 8th pay commission. Tandon Saab, let's talk about the first big decision in today's cabinet decision about the rocket launch pad. We understand that, you know, the country has two major rocket launch pads. In today's cabinet meeting, the third launch pad at a cost of, you know, 3,985 crore rupees, just 15 crore rupees short of 4,000 crore rupees, has been approved by the cabinet. How big a decision is this?
As you very rightly said, the third launch pad at Satish Dhawan Space Center of ISRO at Sriharikota is very significant because this will help the establishment of the launch infrastructure for the next generation of the launch vehicles of ISRO. And also, it will support a standby launch pad for the second launch pad at Sriharikota. Now, this will certainly enhance the launch capacity for future Indian human space flight missions as well. And therefore, this project is of national importance, as we have been talking about. See, India has ambitious plan to set up a Bharatiya Antariksh Station, that is BAS, by 2035, and an Indian crewed lunar landing, that is landing at the moon with a crew. That ambitious project is to be completed or acquired by 2040, and that requires a new generation of heavier launch vehicles with new propulsion system. No, this cannot be done with the existing launch pad. So therefore, looking at the future of Indian space program, the third launch pad has been sanctioned by the cabinet. So that is the ambitious space program of India, which is now in the elite club of the world powers. In fact, many countries are now hiring India's launch pad to launch their own vehicles. So India is in that position that many countries are now booking our space launch pad for launching their own vehicle. So that way, it is very important. And if I may give you some details of the implementation strategy and targets, see, the third launch pad, it is designed to have configuration that is as universal and adaptable as possible, that can support not only NGLV, but also the LVM3 vehicles. Now, these are the stages of launch pads and the vehicle. And therefore, it will be realized with maximum industry participation. It will not be exclusively the government effort, but the industry will also be participating in it and fully utilizing ISRO's experience in establishing the earlier launch pads and maximally sharing the existing launch complex facilities.
Mr. Tandon, just for the benefit of our listeners, I'm trying to compare this with an airport runway. We often hear that a runway in a certain city or town is being upgraded, is being lengthened. That we do understand that a smaller aircraft has been landing in that particular runway, but now the length is being increased or the width is being increased, and also the other paraphernalia, the radars, the infrastructure is being put in place. So many a times it is upgradation. As I said, you know, just for the benefit of our listeners, do you think, you know, this aspect would have been considered by the experts in the field, that why not upgrade the current launch pad itself, whether it's the first launch pad or the second launch pad, and make it compatible for future use, increase its infrastructure and all, instead of launching an altogether greenfield project and a third one? Also, the economic feasibility has to be seen. Many a times upgradation takes a lot more time and cost rather than building a new one.
You know, as of today, Indian space transportation systems are completely reliant on two launch pads. First launch pad was realized 30 years ago for PSLV and continues to provide launch support for PSLV and other vehicles, special vehicles as well. Not that it is going to become defunct. And it was established primarily for GSLV and LVM3 and also functions as standby for others. So, what the government of India has thought is that you can improve upon it, but the fact remains, looking at the long-term perspective of Indian space program, you need to have the latest technology. Mm-hmm. And SLP is also getting ready to launch the human-rated LVM3 for the Chandrayaan mission. Now, when we are talking about upgrading our space program, then we need to upgrade the technology also, with a better launch pad, with the latest technology and facilities. And as I said, this is all for another 25 to 30 years. We can imagine that technology changes. So therefore, I think it was a much needed initiative, which the government has taken well in time.
On the cusp of building a third launch pad with all the latest technologies, don't you think in the last 6-7 decades, we have come a very long way?
Certainly. And the country cannot forget the contribution and services of Vikram Sarabhai and Homi Bhabha, Dr. A.B.J. Abdul Kalam, and so many scientists. The picture which you have referred to, I think it was Dr. Kalam carrying a part of the rocket on a bicycle. So from there, all these stalwarts have contributed towards India's march into the space. So India will always remain grateful to all these scientists who have done wonders. And from the period when the world was not even encouraging us to go into the space technology, all sorts of opposition and resistance was there, yet our scientists have done a remarkable job. So now it's a step forward, a leap forward in that direction from the future point of view.
Tandon Saab, you know, this particular sector, space sector, even, you know, defense for that matter, people used to say that this is sacrosanct. It just cannot be opened up to the private sector or to foreign players because this is too sensitive. But of late, in the last almost a decade, we have seen the space sector being opened up to the private sector in the country and also to young entrepreneurs for startups and all. Do you think this is in line with our liberal policy that we want to invite the private sector, invite the citizens of this country, this nation, as being partners in space as well?
If we are collaborating with foreign agencies for the sheer purpose of technology upgradation, why can't we involve our own industry, which is in the private sector, and they are doing wonders in all walks of life? So if we promote our domestic indigenous industry to enter space technology in collaboration with the global players, I think there is nothing wrong. See, the only hitch that time, what we used to be told was, it's a question of national security. Nowadays, national security is not that sacrosanct in the sense you can't hide it in files. With the technology from the space, everything is so transparent. The whole world knows what the other countries are doing. They can even monitor the, you know, number plate of a car moving in a street. So therefore, I think rather than trying to be introvert, if we try to collaborate with the world, we cooperate with, no, even defense technology we are opening up for the private sector. And that's why India's exports are also increasing in defense sector. As I said, our space technology, our space program is also earning us foreign exchange. So therefore, I think it's a very integrated world. So therefore, engaging not only the foreign collaboration or technology, also involving our own private sector, which is second to none in the world. So it will certainly give a boost to our space program.
And always that delicate balance between, you know, ensuring national security and opening it up for business ventures to the youngsters of this country. That balance can always be struck, isn't it?
Certainly. Our own human resource is excelling in every walk of life. We have so much talent in this country. So if we don't utilize that talent through the private sector also in our special program like space, the other countries may take them and then we will talk about brain drain. So to stop brain drain also, we must engage our own brain within the country for all these sectors. And therefore, some of the top private sector agencies, they are getting all the brains. So if we involve them, engage them in our space program and all programs, like defense production, as I said. So India is now opening up a defense production to the private sector, our own private sector. And that is why we are now exporting defense equipment. Similarly, all these efforts will ultimately lead to India becoming a superpower in space technology. And that cannot be done without involving all sections of the society, our own talent, and also our private sector.
Tandon Saab, let's move on and also discuss the second big decision which was announced in the cabinet briefing today by Cabinet Minister Shri Ashwini Vaishnav about the approval to constitute the 8th pay commission. So a big sigh of relief for lakhs of government employees, approximately I think 50 lakh employees would stand to benefit from this. And now the highlight is not even the 7th pay commission, which comes to an end by the 31st of December 2025, which is almost a year from now on. At this juncture, the government has planned it properly and has announced the constitution of the 8th pay commission. And it will be constituted, the work will start. And by the time we step into the new year 2026, probably the recommendations of the commission could be expected.
Certainly. The announcement of the 8th pay commission by the government of India through the cabinet decision. Now, to be very precise, there are about 49 lakh central government employees and 65 lakh pensioners. All of them are going to benefit from it. And the setting up of the new pay commission in 2025, as the INV minister, Mr. Ashwini Vaishnav, who briefed the press, said that it will ensure that its recommendations are received well before the completion of the term of the 7th pay commission. That is very significant. And then, in this regard, consultations will also be held with central and state governments and other stakeholders. Not right. That it will be a unilateral thing. And the announcement of the 8th pay commission being approved by the cabinet today has incidentally come just before the annual budget, which the finance minister will be presenting. And one more piece of information is that since 1947, the government of India has so far constituted 7 pay commissions. And the pay commission's key role in deciding salary structure, benefits and allowances for government employees. And most of the state-owned organizations follow the commission's recommendation. That's very significant thing. And you also very rightly said that the 7 pay commission was constituted in 2014 and its recommendations were implemented on June 1, 2016. Now, may I add here that the 8th pay commission, it has the potential to improve the financial stability of lakhs of workers and pensioners who are currently engaged in discussions regarding minimum pay revisions and fitment factor adjustments, etc. Now, this pay commission, when constituted, its chairman and 2 members will be announced very soon, it will impact lakhs of central government employees by changing their pay structure. The fitment factor, a multiplier used to change pay from the 7th pay commission scale, is one of its key components. So it is proposed that fitment factor will be set at 2.28, yeah, which would represent a 34.1% increase in minimum
wage. Which is really substantial, sir.
It is huge. It is huge. It's
more than one-third. Yeah, more than one-third increase. Let's wait and watch for the nitty-gritties, the modalities, how the 8th pay commission's recommendations pan out. But for now, these two big decisions, the construction of a third rocket launch pad for the entire nation, and also the announcement of approval of the constitution of the 8th pay commission. Tandon Saab, thank you so much for discussing on these topics.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet Decisions. The participants were Ashok Tandon, political analyst, and S. Rangabashyam, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.